Ready? My name is Minnipur Brown, and I was Minnipur Sheffield before I got married in 1931, the 11th day of October. I'm the mother, I was married to Florida Brown, and which was, he was of five sisters and brothers. And he had three sisters and him and his one brother, which made five in family. All right, then my mother, she was Melissa Bullion, my father was Martin Sheffield. They started me out on the life, Christian life, in the early age. I joined the church when I was seven. And then when I was same time, during the time I was seven, my daddy was a chef cook at M.M. Smith's Motel in Fort Gaines, Georgia. My mother, she was a maid there. And our family grew large, and then when I become seven, he had to make a living for those seven children, and what he was getting wasn't enough. And he saw that Joe Howard hands off for me to start giving corn, to have a corn patch, so we could make a little money and make our own meal and bread. And from that to next year, then I started making a little bigger crop. He started my little brother then to helping me to plow. And we farmed there, that was in 1922. And then we moved to the farm, and we had a bigger farm. Then he had about a 3-horse farm out there on M.M. Smith's place. We still work for him. And we went on from that. I taken sick when I was six and had to learn how to walk again. And later told Mama to give me some chewing tobacco water. I would put tobacco in the water and let me drink the water from that. From that, I started dipping snuff. And I dipped snuff 56 years. And this coming August the 4th, I'll be 6 years ago, my son prayed a prayer right here in this house. He's a minister and a holiness preacher. And he said, Mama, today is your day. I said, oh, what you talking about? He said, Mama, you can quit if you want to. I said, I done tried three times. What, I don't want to quit now. He said, Mama, try it again. And I tried it, and I haven't dipped no snuff since. And for his canning and food, we have always raised our potatoes, our own meat, our own hogs, cows, goats, chickens, turkeys, guineas. We had it. Oh, one of the biggest farms you most ever say. In 1956, my mother and father would come to our house, and my husband had what she called it a zoo, because he could name every kind of animal except zebras, elephants, and foxes. We had it on our plate. We even had the wild raccoon, the wild rabbits, the tame rabbits, the goats, the sheep, the turkeys, the guineas, the gooses, and many other animals that we had. And even now, we had a wildcat one time. And I wanted to get rid of that cat because that little boy was always devilish. He would go pick at that cat, and I was scared that cat was going to bite him. I taken some potash and got me a biscuit one morning and filled that biscuit full of potash and went dampening. When my husband went to field, I had to milk the cows. And then I milked the cow and fed on that. Then I put the bread in there to him to eat, and he ate it. My husband come home at dinner time, he was scratched out with a sore mouth and did die. I never told it today that I killed him, but I killed that cat. And during down through my life, I'm the mother of 15 head of children, 12 boys and 3 girls. In the year of 1941, I could pick 500 pounds of cotton, and ever since I was 9 years old, I could pick 500 pounds of cotton. And after picking 500 pounds of cotton Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, I stopped and washed 8 in my family and for 4 other white people. I ironed the clothes Saturday morning and took them in. Sunday morning at 4 o'clock, I had my first set of twins. I didn't know I was going with twins. But when one was born, 30 minutes later, I thought the afterbirth was coming. And the midwife looked and said, oh, good God, here another baby. I looked up to him and I said, oh, God, come get him. I don't need him. One lived 3 days and the other lived 2 days. Oh. They died. Mm-hmm. I give them to the Lord. 8 years later, I met my first cousin. She had 2 sets of twins. I thought they were the cutest things I most ever seen. And then I got on my knees and begged God, if I was going to keep having children, give me another set of twins. And 14 months later, I come up with a girl and a boy, a set of twins, which are still living. Henry McKimmy Brown and Virginia McKimmy Brown. That's the boss man, Mr. Henry McKimmy, Fort Gaines, Georgia, named them. And they were so good to them, they would give them a case of milk a month. I didn't have no milk to buy. And when my first child was born in the world, he was the only child on either side, on my husband's side and my side. and they give me a shower, and I had 13 dozen diapers. And I carried them diapers down through my 15 children and my grandchildren. My 11th grandchild, she finished wearing them out. I've got a history to tell, a story to tell. You can tell the story that Jesus died that we might live. But one thing about it, I know he died, and he lives in my soul. Each day of my life, I try to make friends with everybody. I trust in him. Wherever I go, I get a blessing every day. That's why I can say it. I get a blessing. Oh, yes. I get a blessing. I get a blessing every day as I walk along the highway. I can feel the Holy Ghost moving in my soul. That's why I say I get a blessing every day. You know my Savior died. Oh, don't you know he rose again. He said, for God I'm gonna live, and for God I'll die. I'm gonna stand up and hold my light. Gonna stand up and let my light shine on the way. I'm gonna stand for my Jesus every day. Let him walk with me along the way. I'm gonna stand up and tell the world I know the Lord. He have saved my soul. He give me joy and give me peace. Give me life, give me joy every day. I'm gonna walk with my Savior. Walk with him every day. That's one of the songs.
That's nice.
And another song I he didn't record was woke up this morning by the power of God. Woke up this morning by the power of God. Woke up this morning by the power of God. Everything moving by the power of God. I woke up this morning by the power of God. I woke up this morning by the power of God. Who woke up this morning by the power of God? Everything moving by the power of God. Said my prayers by the power of God. Said my prayers by the power of God. Said my prayers by the power of God. Everything moving by the power of God. Who woke up this morning by the power of God? Who woke up this morning by the power of God? Who woke up this morning by the power of God? Everything moving by the power of God. Show nothing.
That's wonderful.
Satisfied in my soul today. Satisfied all along the way. I'm satisfied when I kneel to pray. I'm so satisfied. Satisfied when you hear me say. Satisfied, I'm on my way. I'm satisfied in my soul today. I'm so satisfied. One day I was out in my bloody sin. My Jesus came and he took me in. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul been satisfied. I'm satisfied in my soul today. I'm satisfied all along the way. I'm satisfied when I kneel to pray. I'm so satisfied. And now about the candy.
Yeah.
I canned this year. Apple jelly, blackberry jelly, plum jelly, peach jelly, canned cucumber pickles, figs, squash, tomatoes, made soup, canned rochinelles, corn radish, you name it, I canned it.
Is that right?
That's right.
Is that right? How many, what different kinds of pickles do you make?
Oh, I make the dill and also the sweet pickles. I'll mm-hmm. give you jumbo eagle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you make anything like dilly beans or chow chow or anything like that?
No, I don't make no chow chow. I make dilly beans sometimes. Me and my white lady, Mrs. McKellar, I vote her. That's why I get it. I don't like it too well, but she give me some of that for the making.
Corn relish?
I made some Saturday.
Is that right? Good. Yeah. Ketchup? Do you make your own ketchup or mustard?
I make my own ketchup. I go to the can factory and make that in Tifton.
Oh, you do?
Make my own ketchup.
Good. And what kinds of jams and jellies again did you say you make?
I make tomato jelly, and apple jelly, peach jelly, blackberry jelly, plum jelly, and just any kind of jelly. That's the jelly I make.
Where'd you get the recipes for those?
I just make my own.
Make your own up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People ask about a cake. I tell my son, I just dip it in the sack and pour it in there. I don't give his cake to you.
Oh, no, that's okay. Did you ever used to make your own hominy?
I make some of that, and I'm gonna find the white corn. I have to go out into the mill, on there's the mill on 319 going Wells, Osceola.
Mm-hmm.
And I catch him out there sometimes, and he have some white meal, he let me have a pick.
And you still make your own
hominy.
Lye hominy, do you like that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. I get full, but the taste don't never leave. Yes, ma'am, I have a good time. My old potash soap, I mix that right on every now and then. I got some of that here.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. The cold water soap, I got a little piece of bar. My son was here and he wanted it. I said, no, I got to save this for sitting there. I said, I make some when the weather get a little cooler. Got to mostly make it on October, November, water stand.
So there's two different kinds of soap you make. One is potash soap and one is cold water soap. Uh-huh. What's the difference?
Well, the difference in the potash soap is out of old fried meat grease. And the cold water soap is made out of clear, pure lard. And you cook the potash soap, but you don't cook the clear water soap.
I see.
It just gets you 2 gallons of grease and 4 boxes of potash. And 3.5 gallons of water. It just gets you a big container. Put all that grease in there and put all that potash in there and just go to stirring. And just keep it stirring, add the water. So you add up all them 3.5 gallons of water. You get all in there, and it be thick and hard, so you hardly pour it. Then if you got a square container to put it in, you pour it out and let it be about like that thick. I have a container, but it's plastic. Then I let it get cool, and I pour it in there, and then in the morning, I can go there and cut it out in bars like I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it lay there, and you can chuck it beside the house, it won't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's good. What do you use that soap for?
You can use it for washing clothes or washing your skin. It's good for your skin.
Mm-hmm. Washing your hair, mm-hmm. everything?
No, you don't wash your hair with it.
Don't wash your hair with it?
Because it makes your hair be tough and rough.
Okay.
But for us cleaning that skin, them old bad feet when you're out in the mud and want to clean them up, you get it. Yeah, you get it. Yes, ma'am. And I do a lot of farming. I do all that from my plot.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I took some pictures of that while you were gone of your house and everything.
Yeah,
probably your neighbors wonder what I'm doing out there.
Yeah, they wonder.
Taking pictures. Did you ever used to make any sauerkraut or anything of that sort?
Pickle beans? I have made sauerkraut. I hope Ms. McKeldon makes some sour beans last year. Pickle beans, I call them sour beans. But I don't like them. They don't taste good to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I can eat it now. I can eat anything, but just some things I like better than I do others.
Did you ever used to make your own butter?
Oh, yes. I used to milk 3 cows twice a day. And then I have milked 12 cows twice a day. My daddy used to, when he went to that milk dairy, and the motel, they had 12 cows, and my daddy would milk them. And so after my daddy got hurt by a goat, broke his rib, threw his ribs in the side, it worried him to stoop down there. When I got big enough, he put me to milk. I milked him 4 years. And then I got to having those cramps in my hands, and then he just moved to the farm and went to farming. But up until my husband got drowned in 68, the 15th day of January, I had 4 cows. And then I had 7 children. He got drowned. Henry Brown in high school and the rest of in college, I mean. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them is Brown's resident. And where I left off at.
We were talking about butter, making butter.
Butter, I have molded butter and dried my butter out. And my house got burned. I had 13-gallon jugs of dried out butter sitting on the buffet. And I had 12 gallons of pepper syrup sitting with drinks. And people come in, yes, I married. Ooh, talking about what is that brown? Yes, sir. I had over 1,000 quotes to get burned up in that house.
Oh, no.
I had five-gallon cans of lard, and I had 4 hogs, 2 deep freezers. You couldn't put another pound of butter in there. Mm-hmm. And I killed a cow, and all that just went down. On that morning when they told me my house was on fire, I had a fit. And my neighbor, sitting that evening, sitting right around the house over there, it come in my mind, said she's sitting. And God showed her to me in a dressing blessing and shot my eyes. Just saw her walk across that vision. In 1975, she got sick and went to the hospital. And I went to Florida to see about my sister. She had got sick down there in a car wreck. I stayed 5 weeks. And while I was gone, while I left here, she was in the hospital. While I was gone, she got so sick, and she told me one thing would keep her out of here. She said, I stopped me in that Brown's house of fire. She said, I got to beg her pardon. And nobody even had my address down there where I was, but one of my daughters. And she had gone to California. And they couldn't get me. They didn't know how to get me. I'd have come. Uh-huh. If I just had knew it, I'd have came.
Yeah.
And when I got come home, she'd been buried 2 weeks to the day I come home.
Why did she do it? Why did she?
Me, the Griffith Hardy. No, right? Here's some Griffith Hardy folk here in this part of town.
Oh, no, man. I thought it was
that fella right there. That fella right there in the house that he went to Tampa last week. Mm-hmm. And he had those pretty Zayas sat out there where he bought them this year. Somebody. And so you got to remember somebody went there and broke them down to the ground.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, that's too bad. So when was it your house burned down?
16th of January. My husband got drowned the 14th day of March the same year.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a real bad year for you then, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, ma'am. It was a bad year. But one thing about it, God blessed me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, I get a blessing every day. I mean, he blessed me. I like him. 8 payments to be to pay for that house right across there. I stayed with her until I bargained about this. Then after I bargained about this, Mr. J.P. Mills, he financed it for me. In 1972, I got my daughter's job on my job at Modern Family. I was without a job 2 years. And he told me if I didn't never get a job, I never owed him another penny. And I got a job where I'm working at now 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In 6th of June, 4 years ago, I started working here. That year, I saved me $742. And I owed him $600 and I thought the interest was going to be running up on me. When I was ready to pay him, he said, the interest ain't growing down another penny. He said, I was in a contract. He said, give me $644 and take your money and go home. And then last January, 3 years ago, I had this sign put around it. And I signed up in 77 for a loan from the government for $2,500. And I got it this year, the 6th of January. And they put the top on it, fixed the bath, fixed the stone steps, fixed these stone windows, and fixed my bathroom and hooked me on to the city. Mm-hmm. And wall part of the kitchen in and put floor the bathroom in the kitchen back there. So that money run out. So now I reinstated for the fixed the level of these floors and put carpet on these floors, 4 rooms, and load the ceiling in the back room. So the girl told me that we just hold on, say, it's gonna come through.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna wait. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
The blessing from God comes to me because I serve it. I keep the record of what I do. I go to prayer meeting every Wednesday night unless I'm sick or unless we're on program somewhere else. All right, then I go to church somewhere every Sunday, sometimes 2 or 3 times a Sunday. All right, then on Saturday night, I have prayer meeting right here in this house for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I have had 36 children. And some of them children, when I started, they couldn't say their prayers. And now they can say the prayers, all of them, and they know. Switch that off of me. Many times.
Do you still have your butter molds?
No.
They're all gone?
They got burned up in the house.
They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have a lots of things that I had got burned up. Old 7 years and things. I still have the old wash pot.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I still have to keep it in the hospital. Somebody stole one. And I had a silver dollar one made 1766. And a white man on the job, I thought I was getting some money. He gave me $20 for it, and I took it. And I come to find out when he get that was in 1974. And tell me to find out it was worth to him right then $500. He didn't give me but 20 for it. And I look on TV here this year where one was made in 1776. If they could find one, he would be worth $3,000 too. I got a dollar here. I'm saving. It's worth $35 now. But I won't get rid of it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Hang on to it.
Uh-huh. Because it was made in 35.
Huh.
A dollar bill was made in 35. It's much different than the bills now in this one.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old one, isn't it?
Yeah. Huh. Made 1935. My son said, Mama, I can't hold on to it. I said, but if I give it to you, you hold on to it. So you can catch the bank anytime. They give you $35 for it right now. I said, well, if they give me $35 for it right now, I'm going to hold it until she thinks she's getting ready to die. Then I'm going to get the money out of her. He just laughed. He said, I'm like, yeah. I said, God going to tell me when he's going to get ready for me. I said, I'm going to live so close until he said, man, I'm going to snap the button tomorrow. He said, Mom, you that close? I said, I'm just that close. Yes, sir. He gonna know when I wanna know. I had an uncle. We didn't have another set of twins on our side. And my uncle was named Ed. He had a stroke on his left side. And he told me, he said, I'm not gonna get up. And they heard about I was going with twins. And after I was about 3 months pregnant, the doctor told me I was going with twins. And I got so big on it, I had to drag my feet. 3 months, I drug my feet. Mm-hmm. And for about 4 months, they made a bench for me to sit on, put the old T-Mall car seat on it. I couldn't sit in a chair like that. I was just mm-hmm. so wide, so big. Weighed 294 pounds. And the morning that they was going to be bone, I taken sick about 5 o'clock. And I told my husband, I said, you got to get up and get me to the hospital. He said, you going to the hospital? I said, doctor said for me to come, because it's twins. He said, that doctor know what the hell he talking about. I said, well, I want to go. I had never been to the hospital, but now I said a children. He says, well, if you want to go, he said, I get you up and get ready. We got the car and we went to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, I didn't have a pain. Not now, nothing did I have. Water done broken, no pains. Got that to the hospital then. They put me on the table and bucket me all up there. She said, Miss Brown, you know what you're hurting? I said, no for that. She said, well, you having false labor pains? I said, I reckon so. And so I laid there, hour and a half. They said, well, we're going to see whether this shot help you. So they put a shot in my arm, and that helped me. And after less than 8 minutes after they had the shot, the oldest boy was born. He was born 3 minutes before the girl was. And when she come in 2 gallons of water. They grabbed the basin and bust that thing. She was just dibbling around in that water. And they caught that and said, well, Miss Brown, I said, don't put me no sleep. I wasn't sleeping when I got it. I said, I want to see it come this world. And so they kept me there then, and they kept the little girl. They kept sent me and the boy home and kept the little girl for 7 days because she was in that water. They feared that somebody got in her lungs and wanted to be sure that she was breathing okay and everything. And so when they did let us come home, my mother-in-law said, now, what you going to do with two babies? I said, I'm going to do just like other folks do. I said, I beg of these twin children. I said, I'm going to do my best to raise them. I raised them too. Hmm. And that was a minister what I'm talking to.
That is that right? Did good with him,
ooh,
didn't you?
Oh, that was a minister. That's a minister. Mm-hmm. He don't eat nothing from Friday at 1 o'clock until Sunday evening.
Is that right?
Don't drink nobody's water, don't eat nothing. And I see them fast 15 days, and he's a guidance counselor teacher. Speak 7 different languages. Let me tell you, that's a boy.
It sounds
never
like
played a baseball, basketball, ring player, nothing. When he became 6 years old, he kept the little catechism cards we'd get on Sunday school. He'd have bring them home and get the Sunday school book and the little testament. Go to school and read that. Come back and read that. Anything you want to know in the Bible, you just call and say, what about the so-and-so fine day? That's in Deuteronomy 12:14. Where's so-and-so? That's in Isaiah 6:12.
Yeah.
Where's so-and-so fine day? That's Matthew 5:2. Just that quick. He know that Bible.
Well, he sounds like he's real proud of you, too.
Yeah, he is.
Let me ask you this. When you were a young girl, did you ever used to dry any kinds of foods at all? Did you dry apples?
We dried apples and peaches and okra.
Okra? Is that right? How did you dry the okra?
Well, I dried some okra here about 2 years ago. We get the little tender 2-inch pods, and we pick those fuzz off of them and wash them. And just like that car out there, I'd get me a sheet and put brown paper sacks, and put them over the top of that sheet and put it up there. All right, then at night I would keep it with a sheet to keep the juice from softening. Next morning I'd take the sheet off and let it stay there. And let it stay there for 12 days and it'd be just as dry as a chip.
Is that right?
But it'd be green.
Huh.
And now when you get ready to eat it then, you soak it tonight in warm water. It'll come back to life. Hmm. Oh, that's a miracle. This him. Mr. Whit, one of my insurance agents, he come there and he looked at it. And he said, I want to see that when it gets dry. And I give his wife one. I met her last Wednesday. We went to the theater with the little school children. And I met her there. She said, Brian, is you going to dry some okra this year? I said, if I make it, I'll dry you some.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I've never seen dried okra before.
Well, I don't have no more now, but that's the way I dry. That's the way to dry.
What about meats? How did you used to? Did you ever cure your own meats?
Oh, yeah.
Cure
my own meat. We'd kill a hog and scald him and get the hair on him, hang him up, gut him, and get the guts out of him, wash him down, and cut his feet and all, cut his head off, let him sit there and drain. Then we would take it and cut him up like we wanted, cut the fat out, cut the ribs out, cut the backbone out. Then we had to make eight pieces out of it, 2, 4, 6 pieces. That'd be 2 middlings, 2 hams and 2 shoulders and the backbone and spare ribs, tenderloins. And then we take those tenderloins and make sausages. And then sometimes we cut a whole ham up and then make a heap of sausages. And those middlings, we salted them middlings down with salt and let them stay up the night for 3 nights. And then the next night we resalt them after 3 nights and then turn them down, let it drain out that our skin. And for 9 days then we take it in and wrap it up in salt and kill it and leave it and put this pine tops over it. And let it sit down there for 18 days. Then take it up then and put your pot of oil out there, put some borax and some alum. And what else did that? I know what it is. I can't call the name up now, but it was a liquid. We poured in the water and then red pepper. And then you dip that in there until it get all that salt off of it and cat and lay it out. And stick your wire in there or, you know, or one of those, the girl down in the side of the woods. Now, what is it? It looked like a cane. But anyway, I can't call the name of it. But we just run that through there and tie it and hang it up in the smokehouse. Then we get china berries, sassafras, roots, and bill of fire. And then smoke it. Put old shoes on there and old sassafras there just when it gets cured out, smoke it about 12, 14 days. Mm. And you can go along there and cut you some of that ham meat and smell it a mile, cook it. And then we dried the cows. We have killed cows and dried them the same way. And I asked the people about 2-3 weeks ago, I said, why we can't do that now? Yeah. She said, because the cows ain't raised like all the stuff we raise. Now, we used to raise them off of pea hulls, ground corn, ground hay, and velvet beans. That was, we get that, so much of this, so many bags of this, so many bags, they grind together. And cotton seeds, and make meal, that, all that together. And so we just had a good thing for cows. And it really, really was good. Cut that off again for me. Because here he comes down with him too.
Okay, what is that?
That's apple and plum jelly cooked together.
Oh, look at that.
And that's corn radish, mm-hmm. And that's the sweet pickles.
Mm-hmm. And all of these are recipes you got where?
My mother-in-law was a bakery. When I married, I had never cooked a whole cake of bread. And she was a bakery, and I helped her in the bakery in a big canner. And I just watched her how she did it. And I just went from what she did. Uh-huh. And I don't have to have, I don't measure nothing. I just dip my hands in there and pull the sugar off in that sack and go on, and when it come out, it's all right.
Mm-hmm. And how many quarts did you can this year?
I don't know exactly how many I done can, because so many of them come in and picked up theirs. I'm saying my son got 28. The one was talking to you. He got 28 samples a week ago. And that lady come in here, and her husband got 5 dozen. I put up 2 dozen of peaches, and I put up 2 dozen pints of cucumber picker for her. And I put up some blackberry jelly for her. And other people get me to do, say, maybe 12 or 14 jars like that. But I've done right around 700 this year.
Is that
already,
right?
Uh-huh. And I still got the figs to come, the pears to come, and the apples to come. The wind blew about all of my apples off last night. Mm-hmm. But I went and picked them up this morning. I said, I'm going to peel them. I said, all right, I'm going to sugar them down and let them set tomorrow. Cook them tomorrow after coming away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was some strong wind last night.
Boy, that was a bad one,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Yeah. And I want to take you to another lady's house to see the pretty quilts.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'd like to do that. Do you do any quilting?
No, I don't do no quilting. I ain't quilted nonsense before my husband died.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I just use comforts and piece them up, and I piece it up some, and I'm quilting. Like my pastor's wife quilts them for me.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever work with found foods like wild, you know, like... weeds or things that grow out that sometimes you can fix for certain teas or cures or things of that sort?
Now you take it like black snake root and red snake.
Yeah.
You can get that and boil it together.
Yeah.
And put you some Epsom salts in it and a little pinch of quinine in that water. Show the new moon on anybody. And another thing is good too. You get you a pint of honey and a half a pint of vinegar. 2 big onions, and I used a block, 6 blocks of red peppermint candy, and put them in there and let it cook together until the onions get done, then strain them onions out and strain it up. It'll kill you more than anybody.
Hmm.
Yes, sir. That's as good a cough medicine as you ever want to make.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. My daddy was a straight up doctor. He's what you call a hog and a cow and horse doctor. That's what my daddy was. He could spare a cow, a hog, or a mule, and we wouldn't have no chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir, he was a good doctor.
Is that right?
Yes, sir, he's a good doctor. And another thing I did, I midwifed my own self with 3 of my children.
Huh.
Sure did.
Is that right?
The first one was 1943, the 10th day of October, 10th day of November. Dr. Tracy Sylvester was... I was going to him, you know. He told me he went on me for $70. And so the evening I called him about between 7 and 8 o'clock that evening, he had 4 calls ahead of me. And he was out on the call. And every time my husband would call him, his wife said, as soon as I can get him, I'll send him to you. 10:30, my baby was born at 8 o'clock, and 10:30, no doctor. He was just laying there, you know, and they called his heart, needed to be cleaning up. I told my mama, I had lamplight steam. I said, my mama, hold that lamp. She said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to cut this neighbor. She said, don't do it. And that was just making her think. I said, I'm going to cut it. She said, Minnie, you're going to lose it. I said, I'm going to cut it. I got me some ball thread, and I made me 4 loops, and I tied it 4 inches from the baby. Then I retied it an inch between that. I retied it 2 inches between the next, and I retied 2 inches. And I stood there, and I said, all right. I said, I'm going to leave that one. I'm going to cut right here. And my mind let me to cut it, and I cut it. And when he got there, I took it in, I took me a belly band and a little piece of gauze and wrapped it up. Took me a belly band and put on it and taped it up and put it on the baby, bathed that baby off and grazed it, put him on some clothes, and he got there and looked at me. He said, honey, I couldn't have done a better job. Give me $7, let me go back to town. Didn't put his hands
that's
on
good.
It.
Is that
and,
right?
So then I put it in to get my license. And so after I was still having children and I told it that I had did it, they wouldn't give it to me.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I said, well, if I give me a license, I would do it myself, and I could lose my own child.
Yeah.
And so, 1946, then my oldest girl was born. I had 8 boyfriends and a girl. And the midwife, I told my creeks break, I told him like that I was going to have my baby. I said, I'm going to have my baby. My Tuesday. My mama said, oh, no, man. She said, you will have that baby. I said, yes, I will, too. So that morning, I got up, I baked 4 cakes, I cooked turkey. And dress it, I cooked butter beans, and I cooked a ham, and I cooked egg pies, and I cooked tea cakes. All them boys going to school, carrying their own lunch, they was going to take some from. And my mama, she was a stingy, close eater. But she fit me was having enough, but she was close, and I was. And so I baked the ham when she'd have sliced the ham, you know, and fixed the lunch that morning. And so she went on then, and she said, oh, she said, 12 o'clock come. My husband, he'd come out the hospital on Monday. And she said, ain't nobody got sick yet. They was eating dinner. I said, don't you worry. I'll be sick before you know it. Right then, I was on my way to fix my bed. Then I went in and I fixed my bed. And they got through eating. I put up the food and washed my hands and all off and put everything. She said, well, ain't nobody got sick yet. I said, don't you worry. So a few minutes after they got through and went around and pushed, I said, hey. I said, if y'all want this here baby to have a midwife, I don't mean to do it. You better see and get her. I said, because I'd do it myself. Mama said, this not that helpful. And so she went on in there and come in. She said, well, Miss Della, that was my husband's mother named Della, said, come here, this gal in the bed, and the bed dog ain't got in the bed, and her gown, said, look here, and said, here her water breaking. So they sent her to midwife. Midwife was so long coming, I cut her name cold and waited on her. And midwife got there and looked, said, well, I ain't nothing me do, but just going back home, it's all right. Like, I couldn't do it no better. Uh-huh. And so I give her two chickens and a pig. Uh-huh. Out of all my children, I only paid $400 for all them bean bones.
Exactly.
And now I could have one bone for $1,000.
That's right. That's true.
Yes, true. Sir. All of them. Yes, sir. Good midwives and everything. And Mr. E.W. Killingworth, that was a loud-talking white man. But he was a good man. But he just spoke loud and scared me.
Yeah.
When you used to white folks cussing and talking loud back then. And I moved out there on his place and... He told me one day, he said, what is that boy's wife? I was in the, I see him coming. He had a loud muffler on his car. I hear him coming. I go in the house, shut the door. I ain't never seen her. Tell her to come out here. I ain't going to bother. I just want to see what she looked like. I went out there trembling to death. He said, well, I ain't never bothered you. I said, no, sir. He said, I'm not going to bother you. He said, you're a hard worker. He said, I saw you plying over there the other day. I said, yes. I said, I knew how to ply the phone. And so after I was married about 9 months. My husband's penis busted on him on Sunday night. Not on Monday evening. No, it was Sunday night. And we didn't get him to the hospital until Monday evening. Oh. Kansas, 21 miles on a 2-horse wagon.
Oh, no.
And the doctor told you we'd give him nickel for his life when we got there, but he went on operating. And they kept him in this position for 10 weeks.
In bed. Why is that?
For it to run out of his side with a tube in there, where it wouldn't go all over. And he walked, after he come home, he didn't know nothing in 6 weeks. Didn't know, his doctor tell you, I won't give him a nickel for his life. But yet, this wasn't no good doctor like this, but Dr. Bummer was a good doctor. He was from my father. And he waited on him, and he eventually he'd come through. And he walked around with a hole in his side for 2 years, and I carried out that phone, started another, and carried it out.
Mm.
And this white man said, he, well, with another woman that took over like you took over. Yeah. Then I got on to his ways of loud talking. He didn't cuss me, but he just loud, was a loud talker.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with him. And for 1968 68 before he died, he told his son, say, get in a hurry. His name is Albert Killingworth. Say, get in a hurry, Albert. I wasn't there, but these words, it was in the paper. Say, get in a hurry. Say, go to Moultrie, get my money. Go to Birmingham, get my money. Go to Montgomery and get my money. Go to Blakely and get my money. Go to Moshe and get my money. Said, and all right, and get in the herd and get it. Say, I want you to know that I'm getting ready to leave you. And so he got back with all that money. They say he had to make 2 trips.
Who that white boy?
Let me answer that. Oh, tell, hold on. Let me answer this. I know who it is. So, that Wednesday morning, Albert went down and said, I got it all, Daddy. $200 million.
That's a lot.
He said, it's 6 of y'all. He said, you my baby. I want you to divide it equally. He said, I want you to get a colored woman that weighed on 11 years. He said, I want you to get Wessie $12,000. He said, you could you get Wessie $600 a month as long as she lived. He did it.
Huh.
And he says, I want you to go down yonder and fly in Florida around. We had left the place. He's that old colored woman of his wife. He said, but plowed that mule. Picked all them 500 pounds of cotton. He said, I want you to give her $300. And I had left that place over 11 years, but they found me. Hmm. Give me $300. Right. And every one of the only place that he could remember, he named what he wanted to have. He said, now tell them all, I'm leaving here in the morning at 10 o'clock. And that Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, he died.
Is that right?
And they say he didn't struggle. So he got up and walked to the breakfast table. Went back and sat down and said, I'm finna go, y'all. So y'all meet me over yonder. Hmm. Everybody said he was going to heaven, but he went to heaven. Mm-hmm. Because anybody can tell you he's going and what time and then walk and then tell you I'm fit to go now, goodbye, meet me. I said, honey, he had to be with Jesus. That's all that loud talking didn't mean nothing. He had to be with Jesus. Yes, sir, I enjoyed going to his funeral. I'm telling you, we went to his funeral, me and my husband. We was living in Anderson City. Maybe had been folk game, but we went to that funeral. Yes, that was one man. I'm talking my mother-in-law, she was boned on their place. Hmm. Before he was boned, she was boned on the place. Mm-hmm. And she's 97 years old. We'll be 98 the third day of this coming August. He can outwalk me.
Hmm. Well, that's good. That's good.
Great.
To be in that good health.
Great.
Tell me about some of the fun things you used to do when you were younger, like barbecues and fish fries. Did you ever used to have those?
The last one I had was about 3 years ago with Mr. Linnea Heaton and Larry Copeland. We went down here on the river. And we caught fish in their wives and I scaled and because I was tea and I was hush puppies and I was slaw, all that. We just cooked fish out down there on the shade and on the creek. Had a good time.
And that really, are those fun? Are fish fries fun?
Yeah, they are real fun. You know. And then we have barbecues and went down there and just spread down them a lot of trees and clean place down there close out the creek. We just barbecued stuff and carried on down there and just stay out there all evening. Drink.
Do you barbecue your own stuff?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What kind of meat do you barbecue?
I barbecue hams, ribs, chicken, and pork chops. You barbecue all that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goat?
Oh yeah, I love goats. Our skin's about 4 years for this preacher right behind here. That's Reverend Keith. Our skin's about 4 years for him for his church. I skin 2 weeks for last.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. What about Brunswick stew?
I make a lot of that.
Do you like it?
I love it. I got a blessing. Mr. Crane, I went out there fishing, went through his pond, and I went by in the backyard to get me a cold drink of water, and they back there skinning two hogs. And I was going through the heads and feet away. I said, no, you ain't neither. He said, you want them? I said, yeah. And I said, look at you cutting all that meat off in there. He said, well, come on here and do it better if you feel like you can do it the better. I just went there and I saved me some. I got two slabs in there about that long, about that wide, where I saved it and come on the skull and got the hair off it. Cleared up heads, and I got two heads in there, enough with the chicken and the other stuff I put in to make two pots of Brunswick stew. Uh-huh. I told him I was going to wait till it got a little bit cooler, where I could stay out, put it on in the morning, and just stay out there. It's going to take about 6 hours to cook them, between mm-hmm. 6 to 7 hours to cook a pot for them. Mm-hmm. But I got everything I need. First day I turn cloudy and cool, it's going to be, it ain't going to rain. I'm going to jump out there and put it on.
Where do you get your barbecue if you don't make it yourself? Do you ever buy it around?
Hardly ever I buy it. I mostly make enough to for me around.
For yourself?
Yeah.
What are some things that you do with peanuts and pecans? Do you ever fix those in a special way?
Yeah, pecans I cook a red velvet cake, carrot cake, any fruit cake I can use pecans with that. Mm-hmm. And then the peanuts, I learned to grate my peanuts and make a filling out with peanuts. I use brown sugar and Philadelphia cream cheese, brown sugar, Philadelphia cream cheese, and a teaspoon of vanilla flavor, and half a cup of sour cream, and a cup of chopped peanuts, carrot cake with it.
That's that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds really.
And then you take a Philadelphia cream cheese and a cup of peanut butter and a fourth of a stick of butter and a half a cup of sour cream and a teaspoon of vanilla flavor, a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and whip that mess up together and fill you a coconut cake and you got yourself a peanut.
That sounds good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like boiled peanuts? Do you do that?
I don't like to eat them myself.
Is that
right? My grandchildren. I got 62 grandchildren and 16 great-grand and one great-grand. And I had a mission week for last. I came from Plainfield, New Jersey, out of school. I had 9 here at one time.
Oh.
I told the mom, I said, come get them. I said, these niggas about to run me crazy. I wouldn't let them stay a whole week. It was too many of them. So I thought it was going to come back yesterday. But it didn't. But she probably running me here again Saturday.
Yeah.
Because that little boy, that's him on that picture there.
Oh,
he loved grandma. He loved grandma. Oh, yes, sir, he loved me. And so I got a big family. Big family. We had a family reunion 3 years ago, and it was 481 us there.
Ooh.
And it was about, well, anyhow, when they buried my mama's brother, he preached at the same church 89 years. It was a family church. The church was seat 500, and they buried him 1972, and he was 116 years old. And it was 12 people at that church that wasn't in the family.
Is that right? Isn't that something?
That's something. My mom is the only one living out of 16 children.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the ninth child. Only one living. And that first cousin of mine, I said, I ain't been here in 22 years. He came Wednesday. And mom went home too. She called Mocha home, but she stayed with me more than she do any of them because they were two of us girls here.
Yeah.
That's, I'm here in Tifton, and mother, sister, and Mocha.
Yeah.
And she called Mocha home. She's been in Mocha now 39 years, but she's been with my sister now. This made 9 years. She called that home, but she stayed with me more than she do any of them. She'd go home today in about 3 days, then she's ready to come right back. Love good church and good prayer meeting. Let me see.
That's good. That's
I got
good.
This here. They got the dope back door. They get out of here.
Oh, that's okay. That doesn't bother me. Do you know any people around who like make baskets or furniture or anything of that sort?
Oh, no. I didn't know a man made baskets, but he died. We buried him last Wednesday.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. He used to make baskets. Now I don't know nobody make the furniture around here either. Around here. I can't place who makes that retired furniture now. But up around Sylvester now, it's a fellow up around Sylvester named George Engels.
Mm-hmm.
He makes baskets.
Oh, he does? George Engels is his name?
Around Sylvester.
Okay, I'll ask about him. Uh-huh. What about when you were young, did you used to ever make candy, like peanut brittle and
honey,
have candy?
Candy
pulls, yeah?
To make that pool candy.
Would you make it out of cane syrup?
Uh-huh, old cane syrup. My daddy, now I've stood on my feet, me and my husband, had 3 acres of sugar cane. And we stand there for 12 or 14 weeks making that syrup up on the valley. So making somewhere all the way from 10,000 to 18,000 gallons on 3 acres. So we made some syrup.
Then would you use the syrup to make the candy?
Yes, ma'am.
Make
have big candy, put it on Friday, Saturday nights, and shelling peanuts together. And so we'd make, put a candy pudding, and the one could pull it the longest without breaking it, he'd get the prize.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you'd shell the peanuts first, and then you'd
we have peanut shelling.
Yeah.
What's it called, peanut shelling? You used to have to shell the peanuts for your farm.
Yeah.
And we'd go here this night and shell with you tonight. And all right, about 19 houses go to the next house to shell their farm tomorrow night. Until we got around to shell, they busted in one to go plant. And this night we went to your house, that's